All right, we are wrapping up our CrossFit Games weekends. As always, we are brought to you guys by Reebok, the official outfitter of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. I'm Blair Morrison. Happy to be here with you guys. And
I'm Ben Alderman. I'm also really happy to be here. Kind of sad to see the games wrapping up and being over for a whole nother year.
Especially when there was so much, so many new things, right, to kind of evaluate, feast your eyes on. It felt like you were just kind of getting comfortable with the setup here.
Yeah, I mean, we're in Madison, which everybody's talked about a bunch. We've got a slew of new faces, you know, on the individual side, and a lot of familiar faces. But, I mean, just all the storylines that are kind of unfolding, they all feel new.
Yeah, and I think I want to start this, you know, this episode off with just the storyline of the place itself. You know, there's a lot of discussion on whether it should be moved outside of California, whether that was breaking from the history, whether the weather would be an issue, whether the town would be able to hold enough people, like with hotel rooms and things of that nature. And I mean, I think a lot of those questions were answered in the positive and the negative. Right? We didn't see enough hotel rooms for a lot of people. If you tried to get a hotel room here, you found that out. The town itself, man, honestly, it is awesome here. Like, it is a college town, and while I'm not surprised that it's a nice host city because it's a college town, I think college towns lend themselves towards activity for the spectator, right? They're built around entertaining students and, you know, people that are coming to football games. And, like, so there's always going to be a lot of restaurants and bars and things of that sort to do. But what I really appreciated about this year's feel compared to previous years is that there is less spread out spectators, right? Once you leave the arena or the Home Depot Center down in Carson, people were traveling like 50 miles away to get to their hotel rooms. Like, if you go 50 miles away from Madison, like, you're in a cornfield. Like, it's not really an option. You know what I mean? You have to be. You're either here or you're not here. And I think that even though it maybe served as a barrier to some people trying to come and watch the games, the people that are here, the experience, I believe, is much, much better. It feels more like a festival. It feels the whole town has taken over.
Yeah, I mean, just walking down the street, you can run into anybody from the fittest on earth to just the fittest spectators on earth, right? And all the locals seem to really embrace the CrossFit community coming in here for the week.
Yeah, they are well aware that we are here. Everybody is making comments. They're watching it on CBS. They are, I mean, there's stickers, decals on windows that are like the size of a building. They have Ben Smith climbing a rope up a building right across from the Capitol. And that stuff is everywhere. There's from like planter boxes that are decorated with Reebok Deltas throughout the town. So they went all in on it, they being the city of Madison.
The municipality
council.
Exactly. Madison.
And I appreciate it. You know, I appreciate the feel of it. I think this is the blueprint for how to do this right. I don't think it's going to be here forever because I do think it's limited in the amount of tickets they can sell by the unless they're going to build a bunch of hotels here. But I think this is the way to do it. I don't think the way they did it in Carson was the right way. It was very impersonal, spread out, and there was no like community, right?
Yeah, and our whole sport's built on community, and I think that's something that we don't want to lose. As much as we want to grow and we want to move forward, we want to become a big, major sport here in America, we also need to do it on the backs of what kind of made us great to begin with, and that's community. It's, you know, just that closeness that we have. And so, like you said, the first thing to talk about is for sure Madison as the geography for this place. It's great.
All right, let's talk about the second thing, the weather.
Yep.
All right, it's not California. It's not Southern California.
Yeah.
Probably a little less predictable, and we saw that, right?
Yeah, and I don't think that was necessarily a bad thing from every aspect. You know, from the fitness aspect, it did provide an element for the athletes where they had to kind of persevere and overcome some, you know, difficult
It was cold on Friday.
Yeah, it was cold. It was cold and it was wet, you know. I think from a, maybe from a sponsor perspective, we saw some sponsors not ready for it. We saw a big tent go down.
Yeah, that could have been really bad.
Yeah, and then, you know, they weren't ready. So, you know, there might have been some product that was lost, and that's never a good thing, you know. So I think even the games, as CrossFit kind of gets an understanding of this place a little bit better, they can better prep their sponsors, their partners, and the vendors that are here so they know what to expect when they're coming out.
Yeah, I think you're right. The rain on the monsoon rain on Thursday was potentially dangerous, right? You saw a sponsor's tent go down and ruin a bunch of product. On Friday, it was just cold and drizzly, and that actually I think worked to the vendor's advantage because it drove spectators inside. What are they going to do but shop, right? They're not going to be milling around outside sunning themselves. So I think a lot of vendors and businesses did a lot better that day. And everybody was sold out of sweatshirts.
Yeah. I mean, the whole place was sold out of hoodies, you know?
Right.
You have 50 T-shirt or apparel vendors. They're all screening, you know, hoodies and T-shirts. And
scrambling.
Yeah, they're scrambling. They're selling them out.
But I think you hit the nail on the head with you talked about from the athlete's perspective. I think it was a good thing, the weather. The weather being different every day. Like, it was a little bit hot on Saturday. It was pretty cold early on Friday. Athletes having to deal with different elements throughout the weekend, that is a great test.
I mean, we've said it before, like, the barbell doesn't move. The barbell is what it is. It weighs the same whether you're in L.A. or you're in Wisconsin. But you know what? Weather patterns, you can't control those. And so when you take a competition outside and you make these guys deal with something kind of uncontrollable, it was nice to see how they responded. And honestly, some athletes didn't have a very good Friday. You know, some traditionally good athletes didn't have a very good Friday. You know, and was that the weather? Very easily could have been.
Could have been. And at this level, every little thing matters, right? We talk about mental toughness a lot, which people can stay to their game plan, not be distracted. And a lot of guys, I think, on Friday especially, were looking back at the workouts, like shaking their head, like, you know, that wasn't my best performance. Like, I didn't give it all I had, or, you know, I left something on the table. And I think you're right. I think the weather could have been the factor there. I also want to talk a little bit about what you mentioned before, this being the first year that it's been here. And you have to learn your arena, right? You have to learn the logistics. I'm going to give some credit right off the top to the parking situation. The way they set up the parking was phenomenal. Phenomenal for the spectators. I paid for parking here. It was on grass, a grassy lawn, and they had guys out there at 6 in the morning directing traffic all the way through, like a maze of cars. They didn't let it get too crowded. They made it very easy to get in and out, multiple exits. That's not easy to do, right? So they obviously know what they're doing on how to move people in and out of their arena. Another thing, dude, I've never seen cleaner porta potties.
Oh, this whole city is very clean.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, the porta potties is a very critical thing, right? But
you figure, like, by day four of a weekend like this, a CrossFit weekend with paleo eaters, so much coffee, you think this thing would be just a mud flap in there. But every morning, I'm telling you, somebody goes in there and wipes them down.
I went into one this morning. It's clean.
Like, it's never been used.
Right. Less clean when I was done with it, but clean.
That is like that's a logistical win. Like, they're crushing the little details.
Yeah.
On the other side of things, some negatives. Terrible reception. Terrible Wi-Fi.
The Wi-Fi and even the cell service.
Cell service.
Bad.
Not good.
Yeah, they need to upgrade their towers over here.
Right. For a sport that depends largely on social media to get the word out and, like, generate interest for the following year, that was an area that they definitely could have improved.
I mean, there's vendors here, food vendors, that weren't able to accept Visa and MasterCard payments because they couldn't connect into their data services or into the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Even though there was Wi-Fi provided, which we appreciate.
Once provided Wi-Fi at their
Yeah, once all these people started showing up, either that bandwidth was sucked up or it just wasn't good enough to support the level of people here. And so, yeah, it's definitely one thing they need to fix.
Let's talk a little bit about the spectator experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, I've been wandering around this place for about 9 days. You know, I've been here early testing workouts, and then I've seen this place kind of grow and pop up. Like, I was here, and there was nothing. And I saw how everything kind of started happening. And I thought it was going to be cumbersome to move around. And I actually find the flow to be very simple, organic, and it just feels natural. You know, you walk from one venue to another, and on the way through, you pass by the food. On the way through, you pass by a couple of the major partners. And on the if you want to take another route, you can go by a bunch of the little sponsors. They're all kind of nestled together underneath that in the exhibition halls. And so I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, I agree. There weren't any bottlenecks.
No bottlenecks.
You know, and past setups, there's big bottlenecks trying to get from Vendor Village over to the tennis stadium.
Try to get into the tennis stadium in 5 minutes if you're late for an event. We could walk in right now in 5 minutes and be in our seat.
Right.
You know?
The only time I had a bottleneck was getting out of the Coliseum because they were only allowing people to go out through the one exit because they wanted to make sure people tracked themselves in and out. Other than that, man, the flow has been really, really good. Really good. Easy to get places. I like how they separated the partners and the vendors. So you got FitAid, you got Rogue, you got Romwad, you got these big money partners. They're off on their own area, kind of over by the big screen, by the field, right? And then you have the traditional Vendor Village all inside the pavilion with just the smaller sponsors. I think that's a huge win for these companies.
Yeah, I don't know if it was by... I mean, it was obviously by design, but I think it was almost... It had to have been by luck that it was this good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no way that they knew it was going to be that good because the flow has been super simple. I mean, even getting in and getting food, the lines for the food have been a little bit long, but that's just because there's so many people out here enjoying it. You know?
And they move pretty quick.
I mean, there's enough food vendors here. They didn't, like, limit it to just a handful of people.
Well, it's good food options. That's another point.
Yeah.
Like, the food options were nice. It was a widespread. People from all over the country. You know, that's good. I think also the availability of giant screens. Like, this one right out here on the backside of the field where they had the O course, right next to the FitAid booth. That screen's huge. You have people just kind of laying out on the pavement, laying back watching. That's a high-def screen, too.
Yeah.
That's an expensive screen.
Yeah, that screen was probably 50 feet wide.
Yeah. And that was not...
No.
They had the big screen inside the soccer stadium previously, but not something like this.
No.
That's designed specifically for people that are outside the arena to watch.
Yeah.
And that's cool. They have another big screen similar to that inside the Rogue...
Yeah, almost just as big, but definitely not as high quality. That one that's outside, I mean, full outside in the sun, and you can look at it and you can see the sweat droplets rolling down Matt Frazier's chest hair.
And the thing's, it's like 30 or 40 feet tall.
Yeah.
And twice as wide.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool to see people kind of camped out in between FitAid and Air Assault, and it's just like there's a 60-foot wide stretch of pavement there, and probably 300 or 400 people just sitting there. Watching.
Right.
Just find a little spot and kind of camping out. That's the kind of feel this place had. And it's like, well, it doesn't sound fun to go to the games and sit on the pavement and watch a big screen. It wasn't a downfall. It was like it was just an added feature. Like, you didn't have to do that. You could go inside in just a couple minutes, but you just wanted to be there. You know, and then the sunset behind it, which was really fun too. But I think that what most people are most curious about is, up to this point, because we have still a final of the men and the women, how's the competition been? How have the workouts been in your mind?
Right. So, competition itself has been rigorous. Let's say it's rigorous.
Definitely on the individual side. I mean, they are breaking parallel a lot.
Yeah, a lot of lower body stuff. I mean, you tested at least portions of every workout that they've done. I'll defer to you on how hard it's been, but from my vantage point, it's been one of the harder CrossFit games physically for these guys. I know we were talking to Ben Smith's family earlier, and his legs are just dead. You know, his legs are dead, and that's a guy that trains a lot of squats. So I'm trying to think. Some of my favorite events that have come through this weekend, I really like the events today so far. Honestly, the Sunday events, the hay bale 5-round run with the burpees, I think that was a really cool event. I like the rope climb, ski erg, overhead squat event. I think that was cleverly designed. I even think the strongman one was pretty cool because they got to choose the order in which they did it. That's a nice wrinkle. Give athletes the ability to kind of strategize. And of course, like, they had, Dave was smart enough to put in a max snatch, right, which was fun. Fun to watch guys push the weight. Very impressive what they were able to accomplish on both sides. I mean, men, three guys over 300 pounds, girls, three or four girls over 200 pounds. And, like, not a lot of misses is the other thing I noticed. You know, even though they're fatigued, like, these guys are hitting very close to maximal weights, and they're not missing any. You know, that's a good sign for CrossFit in the weightlifting department.
Yeah, I thought the events so far, with the exception of the final, which we now know, have been really, really good tests of fitness in of themselves. You know, I mean, they don't need a bunch of other tests in order to test fitness. Obviously, the max snatch to only test one aspect, but, like, even the run, swim, run, like, it's a very aerobic-based workout for sure. Like, we know it's kind of geared that way, but still just such a good test of fitness to just open up with something like that. To throw in the wrinkle of the cycle cross, kind of like a...
Oh, that was so cool. I forgot about that.
You know, I mean, I got to ride those bikes. I'll tell you what, I've got quads and I can assault bike. I was the worst male biker on the demo team. And it's not like I have bad balance.
Different.
It's just different. I didn't understand the gearing. It was simple. We had to stay basically in the middle on the left-hand side, which I don't really understand which gear that turns. The front, I think. Whatever, doesn't matter. Okay. Obviously, I've struggled with that. But then gearing up and down with the right hand, which is fine. I understand how gears work and it makes it easier. But really had to maximize that gearing for your, like, strength and for... It was just cool.
And the timing when they do
it. It was just really, really fun. And it was a great event, I think, to throw in there. And just like when we had a max snatch, what, in 2008 at Aromas? Was it 2009, excuse me, and Aromas. And the winning snatch was, what, 215?
The winning snatch that year was 240.
240.
But second place was 225.
225. And your snatch was 215.
I had snatched 215.
That's right.
I think I got, like, eighth place, tie for eighth or something.
That's probably your highest strength event finish ever in your entire life.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
But, and just like back then, a 215 snatch could take you top 10. People are going to look back on the cyclocross event in 10 years, and they're going to go, wow. Like, we've come a long way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the course is going to get more intense. The riders are going to get more experienced. And we're going to find other ways to incorporate, you know, the bicycle into our training. So
yeah,
I think it's gonna be cool.
I agree with you. I think the cyclocross event was brilliant because it was fun. You know, it was fun. It was, most of the time, CrossFit adapts training to events. All right, they adapt
events to our training.
Well, they take something that it's a training exercise. A squat is a training exercise to give you strength, right?
Right.
So they take those elements and they craft them into a workout, like this many squats, this many push-ups.
Oh, sure, sure.
Right? Those are training. Those are things that get you stronger or better. Bicycling is it's in its own sport. It's its own event. You know, it's not an element of training on a cycle on a course. That's what's cool about it. It's more like a game. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think that was really fun to see guys do that. The same way when we did, you know, like when you threw the softball for distance. That's like an element of a game. Like, just see how far you can throw it. You know what I mean?
The obstacle course has a little bit of that.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Same exact thing, right?
Right.
Like, you don't do the obstacle course just to get better. For something else. Like, the obstacle course is the goal in itself. You know what
right.
I mean? So I thought that was really cool. All the athletes loved it, except the ones that got hurt. That's what happens in a reactive arena, right?
Sure.
We talk all the time about how CrossFit is predominantly non-reactive. It's a non-reactive sport, right? There's no interaction with the other athletes. On a cycle course with 19 other riders, you have to avoid other people and go around other people.
Yes, you do.
Right? That requires a different type of fitness, different type of athleticism. I don't know. With that being said, I mean, the spread of style and scope was pretty big this year. I know you mentioned it that backstage Castro was very conscious of making things fast enough, that he wanted to push the pace on all these workouts. What sort of insights did you get into the programming side of things?
Like, inside the mind of Dave Castro, you know, I still don't fully know. The biggest thing I could probably pull from it is that he does like the flow and appearance of things to make sense. So he wants to see a linear progression down a field or an area of play. Like, that's important.
As a spectator,
he has a spectator in mind. And then I think he really is trying to see how fast these guys can go. And so the pacing was really important to him from the start. And that was on the team events, and that was on the individual events, you know, which was kind of interesting to watch that and just kind of see. It wasn't the loading. It wasn't the weight. It was the pacing that was, it seemed like, the primary goal. But he always had in mind the judging standards, too. Like, he always had, like, whenever he tested a workout, Boz was there, or Chuck was there, or Todd Whitman was there. Like, some of his head judge was there. Stefan was there, Roche, just to make sure that he had other eyes on it, right? Like, he was trying to make sure that it was quality.
Right, that was quality, and then it was going to be easy, clear to see, right?
Clear, yeah, exactly. And that being said, after he set up the test that we have, we do know one winner. And it's not Mayhem. It's not Rich Froning.
No.
The Wasatch Brutes.
Wasatch Brutes.
Took it to everybody and took first place in the team competition.
That's right. It's over. The Rich Froning consecutive reign is over.
Yeah, you know, I mean, in the last 10 years, the only person to beat Rich Froning, the only time he's lost, is to Graham Holmberg.
That's right.
Right? And now it's the Wasatch Brutes. So he's got two groups of people, I guess you could say, that have his number.
I think it's no coincidence that it is, you know, a different derivation of Ute CrossFit.
Right.
Right? This is a past champion caliber team. You have many of the elements of those old teams. You got Adrian Conway. You got Mandy Janowitz. You got Brandon Fjord. I'm not sure if he was on the champion team, but he's been on those iterations of those teams. And then you got Tiffany Hendrickson, who's an insane gymnast. Like, that team was loaded, and it had pedigree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not surprising that they were right there.
No, but I tell you what, it really gives the validation to that team being legit that they did step in and beat a really solid Mayhem team.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Like, it's not like they didn't beat anybody. I think that's been kind of the knock against the team competitions. It's just not the depth. But, I mean, you had NorCal, you had Invictus, you had CrossFit Fort Vancouver, Mayhem, Wasatch.
Fort Vancouver's been to the games 9 consecutive years.
They're crazy, man.
Invictus
They're crazy.
Been to the games 8 consecutive
They're
years.
Up, buddy.
Or 9 consecutive years.
Yeah.
Like, these teams are proven incredible, so deep. So, yeah, give it up to the Wasatch Brutes. They earned it. Congratulations to them. Even though it's not finished yet, and we're still waiting, you know, we're trying to time things right so we can watch these events. But the men's competition still technically is not over. There's still one
technically,
event.
But almost technically it is. Like, as long as Matt Fraser does the minimum work, which I think there is no minimum work requirement at this level. I mean, it's probably a rep, right, or a 5.
As he does one rep in this workout, he's the champion.
He's the champion,
and he's going to do it by a record margin.
Yep.
Last year was a record margin, 130 points.
I think he really wants people to forget the name Rich Froning.
I know.
It's going to be tough to do, but I think he only wants people to forget it.
Well, Matt, in his CrossFit Games career, has 2 seconds now and 2 firsts, right?
It's pretty legit.
It's pretty legit, and honestly, I was hoping for a more competitive finish this year.
Absolutely.
I was hoping somebody was going to be able to stay with him. And
well, we heard Josh Bridges was sick, you know, not feeling very well from certain things, some environmental factors that we're not all that clear on yet. Probably drank lake water. And then we also saw, like, maybe like an underwhelming performance from Ben for whatever reason, and just different guys, you know, in the field that just, they didn't necessarily, the timing wasn't there, right? Like, everything wasn't firing on all cylinders.
Right.
They were still amazing. But Matt just came, and he delivered, man, again.
Yeah, I really think it's more about Matt than it is about the other guys. We used to talk about Rich in the same way. He just doesn't have any weaknesses, right? And Matt doesn't either. I think they mentioned during the weekend that during that sledgehammer event, that was the first time he's finished outside the top 10 at the CrossFit Games in 2 years.
Right.
That's insane. That's an unbelievable statistic. He's so much better than everybody else all around better, right?
That he, like, doesn't ever finish outside
the top 10. He's never worse than 10th.
Right.
Like,
When you think about that, like who has a chance to beat him?
Nobody. He's right unbeatable now.
Right.
He's unbeatable right now.
I think
now.
The people who are closest is somebody like a Ben Smith who's done it recently and still competing. I think somebody who's close is maybe Brett Fikowski who had a really great games. Right,
yeah, Fikowski
so far.
Looks like he's going to take second.
Yeah. I mean, like those guys have those potentials to do some of the things that Matt's doing right now, but they've got to be able to do it consistently on every single event, and that's what makes it really, really hard.
That's what makes it really hard, and I don't think it's possible, Ben. I think it's going to be up to Matt falling off to give somebody a chance. He's going to win this thing by 200 points plus.
Yep.
Over 200 points.
He may win this event, too.
Yeah. Right. Why not? When I look at him as an athlete, a couple things stand out. Obviously, he is extremely focused. Extremely focused. Single-minded. The rest of his life, there is no rest of his life. Right? He is up at a house in Vermont shooting his gun and doing CrossFit. Like, that's what he does. And more power to him. Because he is a force on the field. The other thing I notice is that his stature, it lends itself to fast movement. So usually what happens with the guy that's shorter is that he gets beaten down by heavy weights. Well, Matt is the exception to that rule. I think he's made of uranium or some sort of dark matter, because even though he's only, you know, 5'6 or 5'7, right, he weighs 190 pounds.
Yeah.
He's built like a brick shit house. So he snatches 290 pounds. He does all these things very, very well. All the heavy weights.
Over that, actually. He snatched 290.
Right. He can do more.
Yeah, he can do more.
And so I think he's the perfect storm, man. I don't. And the thing is that he's not like Rich in this sense. Rich was the master of pacing workouts. Matt doesn't pace anything.
He annihilates workouts.
He looks around at the field and goes faster than whoever is next. That's how he paces. I'll go as fast as I need to beat you. I'm not going to come from behind. You don't see Matt coming from behind. He's like Tiger Woods. He gets out in front and just throttles up. So, honestly, man, I mean, Rich was and is still the greatest CrossFitter we've seen to this point. But Matt is a different animal, dude. And he's going to beat down that door. He's beating down that door.
I
can tell he wants it.
I can tell. I can tell, too. Well, the audience, our listening audience, will have the pleasure of knowing who's right or wrong. Because
okay.
We have to speculate now on the women's side before we jam in there and watch this event in the next 3 or 4 minutes. So we have Tia on top with 926 points. Kara right behind her with 920 points. And then we have Annie Thorsdottir with 870 points, which is 56 points out of first, 50 points out of second, and then Sarah Sigmund's daughter and Katrin rounding out the fourth and fifth position.
I think it's a two-horse race.
It's a two-horse race.
Yeah.
Kara and Tia.
And I think that there's
the Aussies.
Two-horse race for the third podium position, too, right? Sarah and Annie are going to be... They're close enough that it could happen. So you're asking me who I think's going to win?
Who's going to win? I'm asking you to pick the podium.
Okay. What's this event again, Ben?
Deficit handstand push-ups, parallel handstand push-ups.
It's 3-5-8 for the girls.
Heavy kettlebells, 5-8-13.
5-8-13 for the deadlifts?
Yep, finish that up. And then you got an overhead walking lunge, 89 feet with... Double 35 stacked overhead for the girls.
This is Cara Webbs. This is Cara Webbs to win. It's Cara Webbs to win if her shoulder and neck are healthy, right? Handstand push-ups were the thing that took her out a couple years ago. I don't think those weights. She's a stronger athlete. She's stronger than Tia. They're similar in size. But Takara is a stronger athlete. So I think this favors her. That being said, it is going to break my heart for Tia if she comes in second. You know, I really think she deserves to win this year. And I'm rooting for her. But if I had to pick one person to win this workout with deficit handstand push-ups, the heavy, heavy deadlifts, and the overhead lunges, I would pick Cara Webb. What do you think?
I think that's a really good choice.
Oh, I got to pick the podium. So I'm thinking, I'm saying Carl Webb in first, Tia Toomey in second, and then I'll say Thor's daughter third. I think she's going to hold on. I think Sarah will probably beat her in this workout. I know because Sarah loves handstand push-up. That's her favorite movement. But I don't think there's going to be enough girls in between them for her to make up that, 20 points or something?
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to make up the 20 points. So I think Sarah's going to finish in fourth. All right, what do you got?
Well, I may have picked the exact same podium as you, but just to play devil's advocate and to make it interesting for our listeners, so they'll know immediately who's right when they're listening to this episode tomorrow morning. But I'm going to say it's 1, Tia, 2, Kara, and 3, Annie. So I'm really only switching Kara and Tia with it.
I mean,
I would love to say Katrin could make up the difference because I think that her overhead position is exquisite. But I don't think it's enough. She's down 40 points from the third place position. She's got to beat Annie by a lot.
Katrin's going to win this workout.
Fair enough.
I think Katrin will win this workout. Just like you predicted she would win the overhead squat workout.
Right.
Correct.
Well, I knew she would. I didn't predict it.
You remember 2 years ago when she won her first CrossFit Games, it was the heavy dumbbell, heavy deadlift, kettlebell deadlift workout that she slammed the door. Right? You remember that?
Yep. I do remember that. And launched her into now we all know who Katrin is.
That's right.
All right, guys. Well, we have to sneak in. We're already partway through this final. We're going to go watch it. Like I said, you guys already know who is right out of Blair and myself. But we enjoyed Madison. We're looking forward to coming back here next year. If you guys want to catch up with anything that we're doing throughout the year, we have a lot of things planned. We're planning on trying to get out to the Hawaiian Trail Run. We're planning to catch up with the athletes there. We have other things coming up. Follow us on
Instagram.
Looks
like Tovar just retired.
At BTB Podcast.
She's crying. Taking her shoes off, crying.
Stacey Tovar may have just retired. Yep. We'll try to catch up with Stacey as well.
Yeah. Guys, thanks again for everything. And hopefully you guys enjoyed all our coverage from this weekend.